As Paul addresses us about the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and now we're looking at the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit of patience, And I need to make a quick note here. So, I have a hypothetical situation for you, and I want you to think about this and think it through, and to understand how you would respond in this situation. Okay? So, you're at the... you're driving in your car, you come up to a light, the light turns red, you stop, and then the red light turns green. The driver in front of you is very slow to start up, and you are a little late for your appointment. Did anybody go through that this week? If you want to raise your hand, that'd be great. All right, Chuck is laughing already. How do you or did you react? Do you start to honk your horn? How many of you love to honk your horn? You don't have to raise your hand, but you're thinking about it. Do you utter a few choice words about... We don't need to know what they are. But you utter a few choice words about that slowpoke in front of you. How many of you feel like pushing them with your car? Anybody ever go that far? It just came to me. I love that the movie... Fried Green Tomatoes. Remember that one where she gets so upset the gal stole her parking spot, and what she do is she just takes her car and she rams the gal's car, and then they get into this big fight in the parking lot. Anyway, or maybe you might even try this. This probably might be something to really consider. Do you exercise the fruit of the Spirit? Patience. How we respond to situations in our life with those trying times around us determines a lot about whether or not we're allowing God to produce that fruit in us. Father, we pray as we look now to this aspect of patience. Father, it's a topic that all of us need to hear, all of us need to apply to our lives. And as we question praying for patience, is that something we should do? Father, help us to understand your perspective on that answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we all have to admit there are a lot of things, many things in our life that try our patience. Lots of things, and you can think of them even now that you had this last week. But isn't it true, all of us experience what I would call very frustrating moments in our lives when we find it difficult to cope. You know, we find it very difficult to cope with the pressures and the problems of not only life in general, but also people around us. But you know what James says? James says something very powerful concerning patience. Here's what he says. Be patient, therefore, brethren. How long? How long? Until the coming of the Lord. That's as long as you're going to be alive. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. And that's not only in the sense of God's timing, but also in the sense of everyday life difficulties. We have to be patient for a long time, don't we? But that's the command, be patient. Now, when we look at that word patient, the English word patient or patience, or is also called long suffering. Here it comes from a Greek word. Basically, this is what it means: steadfastness under provocation. There are trials that provoke us. People provoke us, and carries the idea of patiently enduring ill treatment. Here's the key: without anger or thought of revenge or retaliation. That's what patience is really essentially to be exhibited in my life. There are other words for patience. Some of them we hear are called endurance. You'll hear perseverance. Those are all words that we associate with patience. But we need patience in every area of our life, don't we? We need it while we're driving down the road on the highway. We need it while we're waiting in line. How many of you love to wait in lines? How many of you go to a Walmart and you and your wife are there and you say, I think we should go to this one because it looks real fast, and it ends up to be 20 minutes later and the other lines are all done. You ever go there? Yeah, right. Do you exhibit patience? Okay. How about getting along with that difficult person at work? How about anything that we have to understand it requires a degree of patience in our lives. Paul wrote this about patience, and I think it's something we need to understand. He's talking about these difficulties, these afflictions, as it were, but here's something that he says about these. He says they are momentary. They're not going to last very long. They're also light. Light in the comparison of other things in the world, they're light. And what are they doing? Here's what those afflictions do, those trials. They produce for us, what? An eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. They are doing something in your life and mine that can't be compared to anything else. Patience or endurance is also developed, what? Only through trials. It's going to be developed only through trials. That's something we have to underline that part there. Write it down, underline it. It's only developed through trials. There was a young minister who once asked an older man of God in his church to pray for him. He says, I want you to pray that I might have more patience. The older man knelt and began to pray that God would send trouble and difficulty on the young man. Finally, the younger man kind of looked over to the guy and he whispers to him, I think you must have misunderstood me. He says, I asked that you might pray that I might have more patience. Not trouble. And the answer from the older man was this. Very amount of wisdom. We exult in our tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. So here's the answer. Praying for patience? Do I pray for patience? The answer is yes. We should pray for patience. And we should rejoice in what God sends into our lives to develop our patience. We exult. Notice the word there. We exult in our tribulations, knowing this, that that's what brings about perseverance or patience in my life. Kind of a contradictory thing, but yes, we are to be praying for that. Now, patience is a word used also to describe any kind of godly reaction to a variety of situations. So it's going to describe a godly reaction. Patience is a godly reaction to a variety of situations. Not honking my horn, not making a gesture to the guy in front of me, but patience. Peter says, we greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while. Here's the key. Here's the key. If necessary, back up. If necessary, you have been distressed by what? Various trials. Various trials. The truly Christian patient, Christian must exhibit godly patience in all of the various circumstances, various trials requiring it. So there's going to be a variety of things that are going to try your patience. We're going to look at a few of those this morning. What are some of the things that try your patience? Well, I think the first one we all can identify with is this. Mistreatment. Mistreatment. Patience often involves abuse of one form or another. And so when we look at mistreatment, patience in that type of a setting with mistreatment, it's the ability to suffer a long time under that mistreatment of others without growing resentful or bitter. Okay, in my life, this mistreatment can come from a variety of things. It can come from a lot of different places. It can come from practical jokes all the way up to malicious and hurtful wrongs that people do intentionally to you or me. It can also be in the form of ridicule, of insults, of undeserved rebukes, as well as outright persecution. There are a lot of different things that we can go through being mistreated by other people, aren't there? Now, those of you that are involved in the office or you work in an organizational structure, you understand full well the reality of this mistreatment. You know what it's like when people are trying to climb the organizational ladder and they start stepping on toes, oftentimes maybe some of yours. you get mistreated by them, or they mistreat you at work because they don't recognize how well you're doing. Those of you who are involved know that. But it can also include the rejection or mistreatment of a loved one. We went to Betty Brown's sister, Verley Kennedy, passed away this week, and Ann and I went to the service on Friday night. And Verley was 99, by the way. She loved the Lord, and she went. And they had it was the most unusual service that we've been to in a long time. But it was a blessing. It was a real praise, because a strong testimony of her faith in Christ and how she loved, and how she especially loved her children. And so the children were getting up and they were talking about their mother and the things that really impressed them about her. And one daughter got up and she basically said, "I am the prodigal daughter." She says, "I was the prodigal daughter for 17 years. She says, she didn't go into the details about what she did, but there was something in her life, by her lips, that she did that wronged her mother, and she became the prodigal daughter. 17 years she was gone from her mother and stayed away. When Verley turned 90 years old on her birthday, this gal came back to her mother. She came back to her mother, and she says, "All I remember is that my mother's arms were open to me, and she hugged me, and she kissed me." And she said she never said one word about anything that had happened in the past. That's patience. That's developing patience without becoming bitter. And she exhibited that. So mistreatment by people. Well, how do we grow in this aspect of patience during those times of mistreatment? A couple of things. First, we've got to be aware of this. We've got to be aware of and trust in what? In the justice of God. I've underlined that there. The justice of God. I think Jesus is our perfect example of this. Quoting this from 1 Peter. "When they hurled their insults at him, what did he do? He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he did this. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly." We must realize that God and his justice is absolute. Paul says we're never to take our own revenge, brothers. We're never to take your own revenge. Don't get back at somebody else. But what? Leave room for the wrath of God. Leave room for the wrath of God. Here's what Paul says. "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." Well, we all struggle in situations of injustice. I have to watch myself sometimes on TV, and I look at things, and I look at people that are getting away with something that they shouldn't be getting away with. It's very obvious, and I get all riled up, and man says, gotta calm down. But don't we get indignant when somebody appears to be getting away with something that is so obviously wrong? But we have to understand this. We need to be able to understand that God is still in control. We all struggle with those situations. Thinking that the tormentor or whoever it is that's being unjust is going to get away. But here's the key. They will receive the judgment they deserve. The patient Christian is the one who understands that. And they're confident that in the day of God's reckoning will come in those lives, even though it may not be in yours or my lifetime. So even those people who do mistreat you, their judgment will come, but it may not be in your lifetime. Secondly, we need to develop a conviction also about God's faithfulness, about his faithfulness. His faithfulness to work on your and my behalf. That's the second thing we have to see. When we look at this and we understand that, Peter says, "Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and then continue to do good." I think the classic example of this was Joseph. Joseph, after being abused by his brothers and sold into slavery, and he went through years in prison, and after years of going through these difficult times, years later he said this to his brothers, "You intended to do what? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph was a classic example of patience. And we must, as Joseph and many others did, entrust our circumstances into God's hands. Another area that we have as far as exhibiting patience, and I think we all have this problem, other people's shortcomings. Other people's shortcomings. You know, there's somebody that says that when you point your finger at someone like this, there are three fingers pointing back at you. So be careful about pointing your fingers at other people's shortcomings. By the way, how many of you here are Cubs fans? Would you raise your hand? Somebody, he mentioned that earlier. Raise your hand if you're a Cubs fan. Let's see him. How many of you are Cardinals fans? So, Cubs fans, you can pray for the shortcomings of those dear Cardinal fans, okay? Cardinal fans, you can pray for the shortcomings of the Cubs fans, okay? We're talking about shortcomings. Have you ever noticed that people around you often behave in ways that, though not usually directed against you personally, they do affect or irritate you or disappoint you? A driver ahead who is slow, maybe a friend who's late for an appointment. How about a neighbor who is inconsiderate? They blow their leaves over into your yard all the time when the leaves are there instead of raking them up. How about a waitress who messes up your order? How dare they come and give you those eggs that aren't done properly? How do we react? Well, you're thinking, I just did it last week. I think I did that. But we have people around us that irritate us. Impatience with the shortcomings of others, I think, though, has its roots in pride. It has its roots in pride. It's our pride that causes us to do that. Someone once said this, hardly a day passes away, but one hears the sneering remarks about the stupidity, the awkwardness, and the ineptitude of others. This comes from a feeling what? This comes from a feeling that we are smarter or more capable than those with whom we are impatient. Ooh, do I ever think that way in my life? Do I get impatient with people around me because I think I'm a little smarter than they are and they're really stupid? I don't know if we really say that, but it's probably true. But even if it is true about them, maybe they are like that and maybe there is a problem with them. Here's what we have to understand. Whatever ability or talents you and I possess, we have to recognize that it has been given to us by God. And we should not feel that we are better than anyone else. So that root of impatience is oftentimes because of pride. We think we're better than they are. Paul, I think, backs this up in 1 Corinthians 4:7. He says, who regards you as superior? And what do you have that you did not receive? How can you think you're superior? You have been given everything you have by God. And as a result of that, we need to be forbearing with those around us or be patient with those around us. The word for patience is also forbearance. That's another word that we have. And it means this. It means I have a gracious tolerance for someone else's faults. Do you have a gracious tolerance for other people's faults around you? How do you respond? That's associated with love. We talked about that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's associated with love. It's associated with unity, especially in the body of Christ. We should be more patient with each other in the body of Christ than with anyone else, because we're all members of the body of Christ. And we need to be willing to forgive. I think the hallmark of some of our problems in churches today is the inability to be able to forgive. Paul says this. If we're going to be truly understanding this, be completely what? Notice this, humble. It begins with humility, not in pride. But be humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Even those people who irritate, I am to bear with them in love. Every day, recognize that God patiently bears with you and me. And every day we're tempted to become impatient with our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones. We need to remember this. We need to remember that our faults and our failures before God are oftentimes more serious than the petty actions and behaviors of those around us that can irritate us. We at Camp Good News, when we were there years ago, we had a song that we loved to sing. I'm going to sing it to you now. But we taught this to the kids. I'm not going to sing well, but I'm going to sing it to you. But it was very, very profound in this aspect of patience. Be patient, be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, remember that God is patient too. And think about the times when others had to wait on you. Patience with others. Be patient with them and their shortcomings. And then waiting on God. Boy, I tell you, this one's a pretty good one too. That involves God's timetable in my life. Am I patient with God's timetable in my life? Maybe you have been praying for years for the salvation of a loved one. Or maybe you've got a problem in your life that you've been praying for a long time and you don't see any resolution to that. Or how about the fulfillment of a long-awaited desire, such as maybe it's because you would desire a baby. But for some reason, God hasn't opened up that door. Maybe you want a new home. Maybe you'd like a better job, and you've been praying for that, but it just doesn't seem to come. You know, Abraham, to me, is a classic example of the need for patience. God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah a son. He says, you're going to have a son. Well, like Abraham, many of us have attempted to be able to do what? We did something that they oftentimes do, and that is to do what? Speed up God's timetable, and we substitute our own solution. Instead of waiting for God, we go ahead and we take the matter in our own hands. We become impatient, as Abraham and Sarah did. And when they did, it resulted in the son Ishmael. And as you know, Ishmael led to a lot of sorrow and heartache instead of fulfillment. Why? Because they went out of God's timetable. They became impatient. So the cure for impatience concerning the fulfillment of God's timetable is this: to believe his promises, to obey his will, and to leave the results to him. Believe his promises, but obey his will. Don't step out of his will and try to get there ahead of time or try to do something that's not part of his solution. You'll only run into trouble. But to be able to leave the results to him, that takes patience sometimes. The temptation is to either give up, well, God's not going to do it, so I'm going to give up on it, or to work something out on my own. Either way, you and I will have a very difficult time and we're going to miss out on the blessings of God. And lastly, I want to take a look at difficult circumstances, things that we get ourselves into or things that happen to us in our lives. So whatever the source, whatever the trial, these adverse situations or circumstances are, the key to patient endurance during them is to do this, is to believe that God is ultimately in control. Believe that God is ultimately in control. And when you believe that, you believe also that he's working out those events for our good. Paul says this: everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance or patience and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So all of these examples that we have of these people in the Bible were given there to give us an idea of how we should be patient. They were given us to be able to give us encouragement and hope. So when you look at the stories of Abraham, when you look at the stories of Jacob and of Joseph being in prison all those years, when you look at the story in the life of Job, as we talked about earlier at the beginning of the service, when you look at those, they were written so that you and I might have the privilege of seeing God at work controlling their circumstances for their good and his glory. And that should serve to show you and me that we can believe God controls our circumstances as well. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that God controls your circumstances? And are you patiently waiting upon his working? It's interesting to Job, and I thought this was interesting, that, you know what? God never explained to Job how or why his troubles occurred. Job never did understand all the workings behind it. You and I were taken there as it were behind the scenes and had the privilege of seeing what God allowed. But Job never did. He simply came to the point where he accepted whatever God allowed. We don't always understand the reasonings why things happen in our lives, why trials happen. We don't know that. Endurance, perseverance, and patience are qualities we would like to possess. But you know what? Here's the key. We don't want to go through the process that produces them, and that's trials. But that's why God's so faithful to allow them into our lives, even though we shrink from them. In closing, I want you to understand this. Only as we fear God, and only as we submit to the trials He sends or allows, only then can we appreciate His love for us. And we appreciate that because in Christ and His example of enduring suffering willingly, we'll find the courage to bear up under them. Trials will do this. They will always, always affect our fellowship with God. Either you're going to turn away from God in your trial, or you're going to turn to God. In whatever trial or difficulty you may be experiencing today, turn to Him. And trust that He is what? He's the God who gives you perseverance and encouragement. So, should you and I be praying for patience? Yes. Because the God of all glory will give you His grace to endure and to have the patience through those trials. Father, thank You. Thank You for the Holy Spirit's fruit of patience. And Lord, this is probably one that we all struggle with a lot. And Father, we pray that You would help us to understand that we are to be patient. And we pray that we can rejoice that tribulation brings about that patience and perseverance. So Lord, we know there's a dynamic there. On one hand, we know that the trials are going to help us to be patient, but we don't want to go through them. But Lord, we ask that You would help us to be able to learn patience through these things. And Holy Spirit, You would give us that patience as we go through those trials. Thank You, Father, for allowing us the privilege of being Christ-like, even in the midst of great difficulty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing.